B-Pod Studios.
And our 4 o'clock hour, as always, brought to us by Landis Block. One-stop shop, created jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online, LandisBC.com. Tim McManus will join us in 10 minutes as we go inside the Eagles and what they're going to do from this point on with Nick Foles and what personnel developments may be likely as we get into this offseason. In the meantime, we're talking about the Super Bowl that really wasn't super at all. In fact, it was boring. And we had to look at things like the pregame show, Gladys Knight singing the anthem, the commercials, Adam Levine and Maroon 5 in the halftime show. By the way, Miss Natalie.
Yes.
I don't know if you've ever heard this or anything.
What?
But I've got really good sources.
Mm-hmm.
Local circles, of course.
Okay.
That, Adam Levine is, shall we say, I don't know, I don't know how to say this.
Say it.
Whoa.
A little lacking.
Pardon?
Oh, I get what he's saying.
Lacking.
A little lacking. It's what the word is.
Are you talking about?
Yes.
Is he talking about?
Yes.
I heard that.
Who told you that?
This is what I heard.
See?
From who?
I heard from a very reliable source.
Really?
Yep.
Somebody that would know.
Referred to him as a baby carrot.
No.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying. I didn't make that up.
A baby
that
carrot
was told to me.
That's a violation.
All right, so I want to know if that changes your perception at all.
I need to digest this information. I don't
totally
know what to.
Satisfied
I don't know what to
sexually.
Do with this information right now. I was not preparing to be
you,
confronted.
My
with this.
Sources are pretty good on this particular instance. They were the words that we used. I didn't use the words.
Baby. I
heard baby carrot.
Was this source a female who had relations?
See, you're heading a lot, Natalie. Just somebody that would know.
Just somebody that would know.
How would somebody know that unless they...
Well, then you don't have to ask. Somebody
I need to ask.
That.
I need to know.
Somebody, listen, that, well, that
do
hurts
you. Think
you.
The information that I'm bringing you would be from somebody who didn't know?
This is a reporter. This is a reporter. He worked for 20 years in the news business. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I mean, I don't know.
Well, this changed your perception of baby carrots
it
forever.
Does, it does.
Well, yeah.
It does. Natalie's upset.
Now I'm just going to look at baby carrots and think of Adam Levine for the rest of my life.
I'm just saying.
It's great.
Listen, it's just, you know, it's source material.
See?
Sources say there's a baby carrot on board.
Sources say.
Report state.
Let's go to Jim in Villanova. Jim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jim.
Wow. As a foreign immigrant from the foreign Republic of New England, I'm just like stunned by what I was just listening to about
well,
Adam Levine.
Listen, like I said, it's just source material. It might not be true, but it came from a pretty good source.
Oh, my God. I was just about to get on here and actually talk about sports.
All right. Well, go ahead. You can talk about sports.
How about that game?
How about it?
I'm in the 8%, I guess.
Yes.
Listen, I got a couple of points to make about important lessons about this mm-hmm. year and this league for all fans and especially for Eagles fans.
Mm-hmm.
This is Pete Rozelle's NFL. I mean, what he dreamed of was that every team would go 8-8.
Mm-hmm.
And it's set up that way every year. If you're the best team, you get the worst pick. You face the salary cap every year. You've got all that going against you. But somehow, in the last 18 years, New England's managed to make Super Bowl 9 times, right? And win 6.
Mm-hmm.
So, as a fan, you got to realize, even New England fans, 12 out of the last 18 years, they've felt their hearts broken
mm-hmm.
at some point during the season.
Yeah.
But that's what happens to fans. You know, and some of the New England times where they didn't win it, they were absolutely heartbreaking losses. Those two Super Bowls against the Giants.
Yep.
A couple of AFC championships against Peyton Manning.
Yep. What is your point here, bro?
So my point is, for the Eagles fans, you got to think about it this way. If over the next 10 years, you made the Super Bowl five times and you won two or three more Super Bowls, would that be good enough? Because that's about the best you can hope for.
Yeah, I'd be okay. Why wouldn't I?
All right.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of fans don't get that. That, you know, they go through one bad year, they have one heartbreak, and they think it's all over.
You think Eagle fans feel that right now?
I think a lot of them are nervous.
Oh, I don't think that at all. I think that the Eagles fans think they're set up because they have a franchise quarterback for the next several years.
Yeah, but I hear a lot of your callers turning already on Carson Wentz.
I don't think so. Now they don't know what to make of him. But all he has to do is play well at the start of next year. That's all going to be forgotten. He's going to go back to, like, oh, that was the Carson I remember who won 11 out of 13 games last year, which nobody remembers now. Eric in Wilkes-Barre, you're 975 The Fanatic. Eric.
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Eric?
I want to, the guy that was just on, he said Super Bowls in the next 10 years, three. I'll take one in the next 10 years because we waited since the 60s for one. I'll take one the next 10 years.
Yeah, but you can't keep measuring it against that. You should expect than one. You should expect more than one. If your team is managed as well as doing the Patriots, why wouldn't you expect more than one?
I hope they win four more times in the next 10 years, but at least I'll take one. I'll take one.
Well, yeah, everybody would take one, but your expectation should be that you can win it every year.
Yeah, true. All right.
Okay.
I want to talk about Nick Foles rumors.
Uh-huh.
If they do get him get the contract signed, and they do trade him, what do you think where he's going to go? Because I think he's going to probably go to Jacksonville or the Buccaneers because they have a quarterback problem down there in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I have actually no idea where he would go. There are two issues here. One is where he would sign himself, and two, where would the Eagles be able to trade him? And they may be the same thought, but I think the Eagles are going to try to do right by the guy.
Yeah, but like in Jacksonville, Leonard Fournette doesn't work with the team.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to think, Jalen Ramsey came out, I think, last season and said he didn't like Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm. So you want to trade him there for Jalen Ramsey or Leonard Fournette?
I would take Jalen because we need that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've certainly talked about that before. And if that's a possibility, if they can get that, then good. But here's the problem. Jacksonville knows that they have to trade him, and they may think they can get him for less than that. Anyway, let's see what the story is with the Foles situation and also why Carson Wentz felt the need to respond to the story that was in the Philly Voice by bringing in the man who covers the Eagles for ESPN.com. There's a story in Today about this. His name is Tim McManus on the Comcast Business Hotline. Timmy, how you doing today?
Mike, I'm doing great. How about you?
Good. Great follow-up with Carson. Regarding that Philly Voice thing, and did anything he said to you in that surprise you?
No, I don't think anything surprised me. I thought that the tone was one where he didn't validate the story, but also didn't dismiss the story. You know, one of the things that he said is he tried to play private detective at one point to figure out who it would be, realizing that ultimately it didn't really matter. But the other part of that is, you can't really rule everything out. In other words, if there's anonymous sources saying they said X about him, he can't dismiss that totally.
Right.
So he's leaving open the possibility that there are some players that did have an issue with him and therefore is kind of being reflective about it and saying, is there anything that I can do better to make sure that there isn't the type of friction friction that was described in the piece.
Yeah, and he said that clearly. That he said that I haven't really encountered any friction, and so I don't know what this is all about, but I guess it could be possible. And then he went on to say, yes, I can be selfish. I think we all have selfishness inside of us. What do you think he meant by that?
Well, some of that, I think, had to do with sort of where his mind was during the rehab process. I think he got into tunnel vision a little bit when after suffering his torn ACL and LCL, and was just hell-bent on getting back. And so he was kind of in his bubble that way. And he kind of described himself as being isolated from, or feeling isolated from, the rest of the group during that process, because physically you're not in the same places as your teammates. And even when you're on the field, you're on a different field from the rest of the guys that are practicing when you're going through the rehab process. I think that kind of weighed on him. I think that he admitted that he was all over the place emotionally, was his quote. And that's pretty telling for a guy that when he, and the way that he publicly faces, he seems kind of even keeled. But he admitted that he, you know, he was very much on a roller coaster ride, and that through all of that, he may not have been the best teammate in the process. So, you know, he acknowledged that he has flaws. And I think that was probably the right tack to take, because if you go on the offensive and you don't acknowledge that some people might feel this way about you, then I think it could have an adverse effect.
Do you feel, in talking to him, that he feels the need to just, like, open it up to, like, some kind of a town hall meeting with his teammates? Or is this going to just play out the way, listen, I'm just going to play next year, and whoever wasn't with me, I'm going to win him over?
I don't think town hall. I don't think that he'll ignore it completely. But I think he got enough support from the bulk of his teammates where he doesn't really feel like it's this widespread, you know, animosity towards him or anything like that, or is something that's going to hold the team back. But at the same time, recognizes that, you know, he can't just dismiss it out of hand. So I'm sure he'll address it in some way, but I don't think it's going to be any kind of grand production. I think more so he's just going to keep, you know, his antenna up and be cognizant of the fact of, you know, what's the perception of me, and without kind of going away from who I am, is there anything that I can do so that person, you know, so that identification of me doesn't exist?
All right, let's look at yesterday's Super Bowl. I don't know how bored you were, but the Super Bowl, a lot of people were, and a lot of people were saying that makes the Eagles look even better. If they were able to ring that many points against Bill Belichick, the Rams couldn't do anything with them. That makes that victory even more sweeter. What did you think of the ineffectiveness of both offenses yesterday?
Well, yeah, I think it does reflect pretty well on Philly. Some people will take it down the road. If only Alshon Jeffery caught that pass in New Orleans, then maybe they could have actually won it again, and maybe they would have. But at least as far as it applies to last year's team, I think it does paint them in a really good light, because you don't want to read too much into what you see on a television, but when they show Jared Goff pregame, like, I thought he looked kind of nervous.
Yeah.
And then, you know, in his play, it seemed a bit shaky, like he just wasn't feeling confident in slinging it like he normally is. And if you contrast that with the way that Foles looked on that stage and the way that Peterson looked versus McVay against this Patriots team, I mean, I think it reflects really well on the head coach and the quarterback that they were able to deal on a huge stage like that against a juggernaut of a franchise in the Patriots that are daunting to go against. And to kind of push all that aside and have that sort of performance where Foles goes toe-to-toe with Tom Brady, who, by the way, had arguably his best performance in the Super Bowl ever last year and still lost, I think reflects incredibly well on the 2017 Eagles.
All right, that sounds good. Now let's get to the business at hand here, and the Foles situation, because by next Sunday they have to pick up the option. Now, logically, it's the best thing they can do, because they just can't squander a compensatory pick. So what do you think happens here?
I think it's still fluid, and let me kind of explain why. I believe that the intention was to exercise the option on Foles. I think the signals are there that that's what the Eagles were planning on doing. And then Foles' camp's move would be to opt out of that contract. So pay back $2 million, work your way towards free agency. Now, the whole other layer on top of that is the fact that the franchise tag may, in fact, be in play here. What the Eagles have to figure out and navigate is if they go the route of I'm going to make you pay me back $2 million. Does that impact at all the way that the negotiations go as it applies to franchise, tag, and trade? because Foles has a little bit of leverage here in that he has to sign the transition tender or the franchise tender. And he would also theoretically have to kind of sign off on the team that he's going to, because that team would likely want to do a deal on the back end of this. In other words, he's got some power. He's got a little bit of clout here. And if the Eagles just try to take $2 million, which is supposed to be for buying back your freedom, and then saying, by the way, I'm going to tag you now, so you don't really have that freedom, is that going to ruffle any feathers as it applies to the negotiations internally with Foles? So, I believe that the original intent was to do this option, and it could still go that way. But I think it's something that the Eagles have to think about, whether it's worth it to get that $2 million if it could kind of mess up everything else.
So the option would be to just let him go and not pick up the option.
Well, so what they have to determine is whether they have a trade partner in place.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do, then they're going to franchise tag him in order to get right. something for him as he goes out the door.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say if they ultimately decide that they can't find a trade partner, then they could exercise the option, have him buy it out, so they do get the $2 million on his way out the door, and then just let him walk. So that's why it's a pretty fluid process. But by this time next week, they have to figure out what they're going to do as it applies to the option, and then the window opens up between February 19th and March 5th for the franchise tag. So this is going to be one to watch for sure over the coming 2 weeks.
All right, let's take it to the extreme. If all this happens and they do wind up franchise tagging him, and he has that price tag of about $25 million, and they try to trade him there, and a team that's not palatable to any trading partner at all, is there a slight chance that he's making $25 million and he's still with the Eagles next year?
Well, that's where Foles kind of has serious power here, because there's no circumstance, in my view, that the Eagles can hold on to him for $25 million as a backup next year. I mean, that is just an extraordinary kind of burden on your cap. He'd be making significantly more than Wentz. I mean, there's just so many reasons why that wouldn't be tenable. So, no, I don't think that can happen. And that's why they need to have that trade partner in place first. And so while their intention may be to place the franchise tag on him, I don't know that they can say definitively that's what they're going to do yet, because they got to make sure that Foles is on board. They got to make sure that the trading partner is on board. Mm-hmm. And without those two factors, they just can't make that move. They can't afford to.
Okay, so franchising is only available to them to buy them more time to find a trade partner.
Franchise tag can only work if they have a trade partner, because I believe if they put the franchise tag on them, Foles is going to sign it immediately, because it's a good leverage point for him. Mm-hmm. 1 year, $25 million, it's great. I think that they'll rush to kind of sign that franchise tag, which means that the Eagles are in this spot where they just absolutely then have to move them. So really the homework, the legwork has to be done before they make that move, because it can't be a risk. It has to be mm-hmm. a certainty that they're going to be able to move them.
All right. Have you heard, this is a preposterous question, but we have to address it, because Kareem Hunt's going to wind up with somebody. Have you heard any conversation that they would be amenable to Kareem Hunt, or have they ruled him out?
I don't have definitive word on that either way. We can say through their recent history that they've kind of stayed away from those types of situations. It's one that they obviously would have to do a ton of work on and weigh all the different factors. So I would lean towards the fact that they probably wouldn't do that, but not ruling it out completely. Still need to do a little bit more kind of investigative work on that before
all
I can say that for sure.
Sounds good. Timmy, great job, and we will talk to you.
All right, Mike. Sounds good.
There
thanks.
He is. Tim McManus, covering Eagles for ESPN.com. Good stuff in today's paper, going over a bunch of questions with one Nick Foles. Carson Wentz. 610-632-0975. Matt in Audubon. Matt, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Matt?
What's up, Mike? Man, my head's spinning. I got so many things to say. I thought last night the Super Bowl, side note, the hypocrisy of the Martin Luther King speech with Roger Goodell's face in the montage,
mm-hmm.
I really thought that was bad. It just struck me as very uncomfortable. I don't know why. Maybe that's just me.
No, I felt the same way. I don't think he's been a champion of minority rights.
Oh, my God, it was brutal. And then to watch, like, Adam Levine slowly strip, because that's all he has.
And the guy looks great, but, like, you know you're, like, grasping for attention or overcompensating when you have to strip during your, you know, during your performance. But anyway, on Markelle Fultz, do you think that the comparison of Drew Holiday, Markelle Fultz is a good one? Because I think he'd be lucky to be Drew Holiday at this point in his projection. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think he could be Drew Holiday. He's got the talent level to be Drew Holiday, I think.
So, all right, well, I would say that even if we had Drew Holiday on the team right now, and it meant trading Drew Holiday to get a piece that I thought could help us win, I would do it. Then, you know, with that logic, I'm definitely trading Markelle Fultz, who apparently has value somehow, some way. But I don't want any part of Dwayne Dedmon, and I don't want any part of Torian Prince. Mm. However, what does intrigue me is the guy that kills us all the time is Terrence Ross. Because I think Terrence Ross is a scorer. That's exactly the type of guy that you need coming off your bench, because he's done it in the playoffs. He's young. He's not making that much money. I think when you get rid of Fultz, you'd have enough to do it. Or Ariza, but that's going to cost you probably a starting player right now. So I think Terrence Ross is probably the best.
All right, now, who gets you Terrence Ross? That's
Terrence
I'm
Ross.
Asking for, who gets you? Who are you trading to get him?
Well, I think
I like him too.
Million.
I like him
he
too.
Makes 8 million. I mean, he makes 10 million.
Uh-huh.
Markelle Fultz makes 8, I believe.
Okay, so you're saying that the Magic would want to do that?
I think that's what I'm not privy to that information. I don't think the Magic are very good this year, but I think Terrence Ross is a good player for that bench unit. But I'm looking around the league trying to figure out bench play. I mean, like benches in the NBA. Mm-hmm. What teams need, like, have really, do they have a lot of guys? Which teams have a lot of guys?
No, listen, I agree with you. If Fultz for Terrence Ross, tie you in?
Huh. Yeah.
You'd rather have the two players.
Yeah, I think I like the players more than you do.
Okay.
The two guys, I like them more than you do.
Now, the buyout situation also will surface.
Yeah.
Instead of the trade. So, you know, guys that have a chance to be bought out would be Wesley Matthews. Maybe Ariza is bought out.
Maybe. Wes Matthews would make a lot of sense here. He can make
Tommy
a three.
Ross could be bought out.
Oh, you alpha. Then it's a no-brainer.
Yeah. All right.
Get a whole new bench. I might get five new bench guys.
610-632-0975. It is the Mike Missanelli Show. It's on 97.5 The Fanatic. It is on NBC Sports Philadelphia, and we're back after this.
Another Lombardi for the Pats. This Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Robbins Diamonds and Tax-Free Delaware, with thousands of rings and self-serve cases and no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly. Robbins Delaware Diamonds. The New England Patriots are Super Bowl champions again. Patriots beat the Rams last night 13-3, breaking the record for the lowest scoring Super Bowl in history. Tom Brady is now the first player in the NFL history to win 6 rings. Julian Edelman was named MVP. Sixers fell to the Kings on Saturday 115-108. The team has opted not to retain Corey Brewer. They'll play the Raptors tomorrow night. You can hear that game on the Fanatic at 8. Flyers had their 7th win in a row over the weekend, beating the Oilers 5-4. They play the Canucks tonight at home. Our Flyers weekly show leads you into the game at 6. Too soon or too late to eat dinner? There's a snack for that. P3 portable protein packets, the perfect combination of meat, cheese, and nuts. Grab the more interesting way to get your protein with P3. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier for you to hear any of our shows that you missed. Go to 975thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our daily Best of Show podcast. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 975 The Fanatic.
Mike Missanelli
on 975 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I just spilled my coffee all over. TV cameras pick it up.
No, I don't think they can see. Well, no? They might. He's probably going to try to see now.
Yeah, well, I got
it. You need to get
Did
some...
you get it all over your papers?
It's all right. My papers are actually soaking it up.
We'll see if we can get you
it's good.
Some napkins.
It's good. My papers have covered it.
Well, you're not going to be able to read.
Yeah.
No, I can read it because I have my other separate papers here.
Oh, okay.
These are just my important information papers.
Oh, okay.
So we have to do our Twitter poll right now.
Yes.
I'm perfectly clear on my Twitter poll page.
Oh,
brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. That's all I had to read anyway.
Okay.
So go ahead, Nat.
All right. Over 1,900 votes on today's poll. Were you entertained by Super Bowl 53? 8% say yes and 92% say no.
I was not. I was entertained by Midnight Run before the Super Bowl, but not by...
The special today is chorizo and eggs.
What's that?
Well, it's a Mexican sausage and it's chopped up within scrambled eggs.
We won't be having that.
How much is the coffee? 53 cents. How much is the tea? 53 cents. I'll have the tea. See, once this movie's in my head, it's nuts.
This is what happens to you.
Yeah.
Let's go to Sam in Lancaster. Sam, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sam.
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Sam?
Hey, so with the Sixers not re-signing Corey Brewer, you know, it was like you mentioned before, I clearly think that means they have some sort of deal in the works, and it's probably going to involve multiple players.
Mm-hmm.
So you would agree with that?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, and
It's a good sign, actually.
It is. I agree. It's a good sign because it shows they believe they can get something done.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, you know, I would love the Dedmon and Prince deal. They would be two guys that would, you know, do wonders on this bench, and their contracts fit, and it would be a great deal. But it sort of astounds me when, you know, we've been hearing a lot of talks with deals to the Hawks, including Fultz, because if there's anybody that is attuned to Markelle Fultz's situation and kind of what's going on and, you know, just mm-hmm. not wanting anything to do with him, it's Lloyd Pierce, former assistant coach for the Sixers, who is the Sixers or is the Hawks head coach. I don't think that there is, like I said, I would love for there to be a deal for Dedmon and Prince. I don't think there's any chance that they could do a deal with the Hawks. Lloyd Pierce knows firsthand more than anyone.
Maybe he likes him. I mean, I don't know how Lloyd Pierce feels about he may be the guy willing to take a chance on him because he saw the potential. Nobody else has really seen the potential. Nobody else has seen him in practice or anything. Pierce did.
I'll tell you this. If you can look back when the Hawks played the Sixers at the beginning and how the Hawks defended Markelle Fultz, I don't think that would be a great sign to show what he thinks of him.
Yeah.
And
it might be more like there's no fit there because their guy is their guy. Trae Young is their guy, right? They're cultivating him at that position.
I absolutely agree. I just also think that there's just no way that they would ever be able to do a deal, including, although I would like a deal including Markelle Fultz to the Hawks just because Lloyd Pierce knows firsthand, and he wouldn't do that. I do think a deal's in the works. I hope that there is a deal in the works. You know, any deal, for whether it's Terrence Ross, mm-hmm. it would be a win, in my opinion, just to get the contract of Markelle Fultz off the book. We could get some bench help. I hope something comes up soon.
All right. You know, the Torian Prince and Dedmon deal, you're going to have now, if you look at that next year, those are two guys that would be with you next year, as opposed to Fultz, who next year might be his blossom year. You already know about the other guys. You know what they are. They're fourth outfielders. All right? Am I right?
Yeah, but
utility infielders, fourth outfielders.
Yeah, but he could either be a single A player or a good player. You know these guys aren't single A players. Fourth outfield is a lot better than a single A guy. There's no given that that's a blossom year. Uh-huh. You're just assuming he's going to blossom.
But the potential, let's just say, The potential of Markelle Fultz, at its very best now, and I know you have to go a long way to get there, but at the very best, his potential beats that of Dwayne Dedmon, Torian Prince.
Well, yeah.
So that's the chance you're taking.
But
next year, you got Torian Prince and Dwayne Dedmon. Whoop-de-damn-doo.
Yeah, but you're only looking at the ceiling. You have to also look at the floor. The floor is the core of the earth. versus serviceable professionals. Like, you can't leave that part out.
Poor of the earth.
Yes, you digging deep. He can be literally useless, right, too. You can't leave that part out.
Okay. All right, listen, I'm just saying. I'm presenting another side of the argument here.
I'm all for the ceiling. I am the person who believes in the ceiling and took a lot of heat for it.
I am not so sure that Torian Prince, Dwayne Dedman, gets you past the best in the East in a seven-game series. Bill in Washington, Wilmington, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bill.
Hey, Mike, how's it doing, man?
What's up, Bill?
I got a question. Was the Eagles game last year against the Patriots, was that the highest scoring Super Bowl, or just, was that, it was among the top, right?
It was the highest.
Was it?
Yeah.
That just speaks to the Patriots' versatility. You know, they were in the highest, and then yesterday was the lowest, correct?
Yeah. No, it was the second lowest, wasn't it? It was the lowest? Okay, yeah, it was the lowest.
So, yeah, I mean, that just speaks to their run that they've been on. They can just adapt to their...
Yeah, they win when they have to score a lot, and they win when they don't have to. It's stupid.
It's pretty remarkable.
No, their blocking schemes are amazing when they needed to block and get the ball in the middle of the field. Like, the schemes they set up to get Edelman free are just amazing to me. And they didn't get the ball up and down to score points, but it seemed that when they needed to get it to Edelman, they got it to him.
But last year's was by far way more entertaining game for numerous reasons.
Way more entertaining. Yeah. This was a snooze fest.
Being an Eagles fan aside, obviously, we actually got the live updated odds at the Westgate Superbook for who you're
beating. Deep undercover.
Yeah, must be.
Deep undercover.
Must have been.
These are deep undercover.
Under the covers.
No, I'm not.
See, Natalie? See?
Right away, she goes there.
See why you have to go there,
why?
Natalie?
What? How else would anybody know?
I may have known somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody who was under the covers.
See? So we don't know. So then the baby carrot could just be lost.
No, the person who was under the covers is a really good source that went through several filters before it got to me.
Are you sure he is just not angry that it didn't work out between
them and
Mr. Adam Levine?
It is a possibility, but as a good reporter that you know I am, I vetted the situation hard.
How did you do that?
A little decorum, Natalie.
I have my ways of digging into a source.
What did you do?
Just various, psychological techniques.
To see if they were lying or not.
I'm not giving you my trade secret.
You know he's taught journalism, Natalie. Exactly. And for you to be questioning him makes me think that you already entered this story with an agenda.
She doesn't want to believe it. She doesn't want to believe it.
She answers the story with an agenda.
Because he came out with a bunch of tats and some flesh last night. So, and it was, frankly, I thought he was a little too, like he should have been a little more sinewy. Before you take off the shirt, I think you got to be a little
more jacked. That got a little jacked.
One of our listeners, Mary Beth, emailed me and she said it was an ode to Mick Jagger.
But Mick Jagger had a rock star like body, though.
Jaggers. Mick Jagger has a rock star body.
That's how rock stars used to look.
You got to have a vascular look in your arms to pull that off. He had kind of a thicker look in his arms.
He's been in the gym.
I'm thinking you need to get a little more the sinewy muscle armed.
What?
Before you pull that off.
Do you think he should look more like Mick Jagger?
No, I'm saying it should have been, I thought he was a little too thick.
He's muscular.
Well, I think you could be muscular and lose the thickness.
See, that's tough. That's a lot of ass biology, Mike. You can't ask a guy to fight his genes.
I thought he looked great.
Yeah, you asked him to fight his jeans.
Oh, of course you thought he looked great.
He's one of my favorite, I loved him for a while.
Of course you've loved him for a while, and you love him without a shirt on even more.
Yes.
610-632-09. What did this big tat say? What did he have spelled out on his belly?
California?
Yeah.
That's where he's from.
And actually, apparently, J.J. Redick liked Adam Levine's sleeve tat so much that he went and got the same one. So if you look at J.J. Redick's left arm.
J.J.'s sleeve tat looks cool. I didn't see.
No, his sleeve tats are cool.
I didn't see where any of Adam Levine's look cool. California looked dorky.
No, that's the chest and stomach tats were weird, but he's not done. The sleeves were cool.
He has a lion right above the the carrot line. Wonder what that means.
Ain't no lying.
Oh, no.
Back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
And the show's full. Mom, we only have like a few minutes left on television. You people on television don't want us to go away, do you? Let's stay on.
I don't think we have that choice, no.
In any event, it's the Mike Misnelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic. It's NBC Sports Philadelphia. Flyers have won seven straight. Now, there's this guy on the email. Saying, the Flyers won seven straight. You haven't even mentioned. We mentioned Murray. And, I mean, normally, if Flyers win in seven in a row, it means something. But if Flyers win in seven in a row right now, what does it mean? Do we have any, like, what does it mean? Does it mean that they're rising up, that they're going to be a challenge, get in the playoffs and be a challenge in the playoffs? Is that what it means? What does it mean?
Well, it means, to me, that the goalie has potential.
Mm-hmm.
You hear about a guy, he's showing it so far, and it's now becoming an extended period. That's what it means. To me, that's all it means.
I watched the game, actually.
Okay.
The Edmonton game. Because Edmonton's got some great young players, and for some reason they don't win. I don't know what it is.
They kind of make a lot more.
It's amazing. And when I tuned in, he got beaten on two goals that the shooter was better than him. I mean, the guy hit it from the left circle, like, bam, just beat him over his shoulder, and McDavid beat him. And I'm going, all right, well, and I turned it off, and I came back to it, and they had rallied. But, like, every time I tune in, must be nights when he's stoning people.
Yeah. Right?
He's playing consistently well.
And he's a young kid, too. He's not going to be perfect.
Yeah, he is.
He's not going to be perfect at 20.
It's just so happened when I tuned in, the dude beat him. It was his second goal of the year. He had a good shot, but he was not like a goal scorer. And he just whipped it and he beat him on the left, over his right shoulder.
And he also doesn't know the book on guys yet because he's young. He doesn't know what guys do, what their tendencies are yet. So he's doing it all with the fundamentals.
Listen, it's definitely a bright spot for the Flyers. And they're playing better because the kid has energized them a little bit. I don't know if the coach has changed things. Winning seven in a row is significant.
They're still 7 points out of the playoffs. This is what I need. I need them to be within 2 points of the playoffs, maybe four.
Well, seven's still too many. 10 in a row again. Hopefully, it's not the ignominy of...
you know it's going to come the other way.
Winning 10 in two straight years and not making the playoffs.
Yeah. And the 1 year they won 10 and somewhere later on they lost 10.
Yes. Bill in Collegeville, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bill.
Yeah, hi. First time caller.
What's up, Bill?
I watch the show. I enjoy it after a big game. And obviously, I don't look in the future right now. I'm looking at the past.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday's game was the most boring, horrible game I ever saw. But the officiating, you know, they have more power, I think, Mike, than the coaches or the players. They can make a call because I play football and I basically understand the game pretty good. And, you know, there's a penalty every game. They could call anything from tripping to...
They could. And I thought they kept the whistle in the puck yesterday. They let the game play out, I thought. Well...
But how about that call, though, where impeding the runner from advancing after he caught the ball?
You need... That's what the rule is. You need to have... The guy has to take a step and make a run. It's like getting picked out. Like, you get picked and you smash into a guy. It's the same thing. You catch the ball, you don't have your eyes on the hitter, so you have to turn your body and make a step, and that gives you more protection than you just not turning around and then getting blasted as soon as you turn around. That's a health rule they put in. And I like it. It's a good rule.
Really, Mike?
Yes.
Basically, If he dropped the ball, it would have been incomplete.
But you're talking about injury. You're talking about trying to avoid head injuries. This is one of the new rules that is going to help that you have to give the guy a chance to brace his body for that kind of an impact.
Okay. I played football. I had a lot of head injuries.
Well, there you go.
And probably I'm brain dead. But basically what I'm saying also is about penalties is why is it like, all right, let's say it's second and 20 in that game there was, and you get called for defensive holding, five-yard penalty, automatic first down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't you give them the 5 yards, replay the play, and it's second and
16? Yeah, well, you know, that I would be okay with that. I mean, there's always rules that can be tweaked. The automatic first down rule or five-yard penalty seems a bit strange. But that rule doesn't seem strange. You have to give the guy a chance to face the smash that he's going to take. Otherwise, he's not prepared for it. His body's not prepared for it. And there's more of a chance his body's going to get broken up if he's not tensing his muscles to absorb an impact. That's what the theory behind it is. Matt in Bethlehem, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Matt.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
What's up, Matt?
Hey, just wanted to give you a call. It's my third time calling. I called the first time, the second time. Defer to you on basketball and baseball. You know your stuff. But how important a linebacker is now? Are they still the most insignificant position on the football field?
Listen, the only thing I can tell you is what teams do. Look at it. It's not me or you. It's not like Dick Butkus in the old days. Teams don't value linebackers like they used to. Linebackers now have to cover. They can't just sit in the middle and wait for a running back to bludgeon. They have to move with the play. It's different. The position's different, Matt.
When you're in a football team, when you're in a football practice and you're on a football team, the most important, fierce group you have to have is vicious linebackers. And that's what did it yesterday.
I think your mind might be in the 60s and 70s when it comes to the linebackers.
Yeah, well, yesterday's
game how old of a man are you, Matt?
I'm 42.
Really?
Played football.
42 when you have that kind of an attitude about linebackers?
Linebackers are the beasts of a defense. And any guy
linebackers are the last position that teams draft.
Oh, my goodness. That is so untrue.
Just is.
They stop the run. They rush the passer. They cover the back out of the backfield. They put pressure on the quarterback. They're the most
Matt, we've had this conversation before. The game has, has kind of changed, and it's time for us to get out of here on NBC Sports Philly. Thanks, everybody, for watching on TV. The 5 o'clock hour is ahead right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.